Good evening, dear youth. Stand in the middle if that's okay. I kind of like the middle. It puts you in the center, and you see everyone down the middle. It's comfortable. I know we all just stood for public reading, but if we can please stand up one more time. It never hurts to pray an extra time. There's no such thing as an extra prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. We worship you, we praise you, and we thank you, my God, for what you have been teaching us. We thank you, Lord, my God, that your word continues to speak to us. I thank you, my God, that your word continues to teach us and remind us. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, remind us of the things which were spoken of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, my God, that it is you who controls all things. It is you who holds our lives in your very hands, my God. And I praise you for this. And I thank you. Make me small, make yourself big as we study your word tonight, as we search your word through, my Lord. And may you receive all the glory, praise, honor, and thanksgiving. Be with us tonight. Bless us, Lord, that your word, which is spoken and which is read, may enter into our hearts, may enter into our minds, change us, and sanctify us. For you, Christ Jesus, spoke these words. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Set us apart for holiness by your word, my God. To you be the glory, the praise, and the honor. I ask in Jesus' name. And also, Lord, bless each and every single heart that is in the sanctuary tonight, my God. For your glory, Lord. Use us for your glory, my God. And build us up for your glory, Lord. As it says in your word that we are being built up into the holy temple of God. Glory be unto you, Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I would just like to point out a few things. Thank you, Brother Ivan, for preaching on what you preached about King David and how he found strength in God. How he found strength in God. And one of the points that Ivan brought up was, well, how did he find strength and how was he strengthened in God? He remembered the promises that God spoke to him. When we open up God's word and we see the promises that are written in his word for you and for me, you can take a hold of these promises, repeat them, recite them, memorize them, hide them in your heart, and recite. Whenever something comes up, you're able to remember that which is written, and it's going to help you carry through. And then Michael, concerning the blind man, Bartimaeus. And I want to follow up, okay? I'm not supposed to preach tonight. I was asked. But with that, I would just like to share something that the good Lord put on my heart. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16, it says these words, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." When scripture teaches all scripture, what does that mean? It literally means all scripture, from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation. So even Michael was reading about the blind man Bartimaeus, or we heard on this text, or we heard on King David from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. All that still connects together. And all of that scripture is able to teach us, reproof us, correct us, and train us. So here I want to bring you an example. When you read God's word, the first thing that God's word does to us, which, by the way, when we read God's word, it is always profitable. What does it mean to have a prophet? To gain, right? That's good. So, hey, most of you know what profit is. You buy something for a dollar, you sell it for two. What's your profit? A dollar. Great. So you understand. All right, so with that being said, there's always a gain, there's always a profit. God's word, when we hear it, when we read it, there's always something that we can gain. It's profitable for our soul, for us. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah says that whenever God speaks, his word never returns empty, but it will always accomplish that, what he sends his word to do. His words are never empty. His word, God's word, whenever he speaks, always has meaning, always has purpose, always has a profit. There's always something to gain. His word is never empty. So with that, I want you to understand, because God's word is always profitable, it is profitable for first teaching us. It teaches us what? What does God's word teach you and teach me? You know, we're going to be open here. So if you want to share something where God taught you something through his word, please just share it. Raise your hand and say, God taught me this. I was reading scripture here, or I had a question here, or I was confused here, and I'm reading, and all of a sudden God spoke to my heart, or I'm praying, and God spoke to my heart, or I'm worshiping, and God confirmed something, spoke to my heart. God's word is always teaching us. Right there we have the Ten Commandments. That's the law. The law teaches. The law says, do not do this, that, or this, or that. In the same way, God's word is always teaching us. Jesus Christ said that we walk on a narrow path, right? So he calls us, we're saved, and God's word begins to teach us. And this is very practical. You see down this aisle, there's a line, right? Let's just imagine there's the line. And so I'm walking on this line. God's word is teaching me how I ought to be. I'm walking on this line. I'm walking on the narrow path that the good Lord called me to walk on. And all of a sudden, I slipped. I fell over here. What's the second thing in this verse that we read about? Correction, right? Or is it reproof? Reproof. What's reproof mean? Can we, operators, can we get up a NASB version of 2 Timothy 3:16? There's a different word for reproof. It's not necessarily correction. That's the third one. It's more of a discipline. It's an old word, chastise, discipline. Who knows what discipline is? We all know, right? Refutation. Okay, we'll just stick with that. We know what that is, right? We know what refute is. We know what reproof is. We know what discipline is, okay? What is discipline? You do something wrong, and you get told. So here, imagine, you're walking on the straight and narrow. You're taught. You slip. You go over here. And then you get disciplined. You get reproof. Well, who's the one who disciplines? God the Father. God the Father disciplines, says in Scripture that in Hebrews, he disciplines his children. Now, that's a comforting thing, because whenever I see my kid doing something wrong, he falls off that line that he's supposed to be out over here. I discipline him, not because I want him to die, not because I want him to slip, but I want him to continue to be here where he's supposed to go, that way, not that way, or that way. So, okay, we're on this narrow. We fall. All of a sudden, God disciplines us. He reproves us. He tells us you're on the wrong path. He corrects. So then he takes us, he puts us in the right direction, and he gives us the correction. God's word corrects us. So say, okay, that's the line. I slipped, I fell. After he reproved me, he's now correcting me to go back to that right course. So I'm walking back towards this right course. He's correcting me. He's correcting me. And then what's the fourth word? Trains. And then you're back on this narrow path right here. You're walking on this thing. And again, you slip, you fall. And it's almost as if there's this cycle. But God's word is in the business of always getting you and me back on that line towards him. Now, God's word continuously does this to us. David is a great example. He sinned with Bathsheba, right? We remember the story. He sinned. He committed a great evil by killing Uriah. He knew what the path was. He knew the promises of God. He worshiped him. He wrote half of the book of Psalms. Yeah, he slipped. He's over here. Nathan the prophet comes. What does he do? He refutes him. He shows him the discipline. He tells him. He reproves him. Then he gets corrected. After he gets corrected, he gets back on that path. And we hear of the psalm where he writes, "Do not take your spirit away from me, Lord." I think that's Psalm 51. So God's word, all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. Let's say teaching. Say it together. Teaching. Let's say it one more time.
Teaching.
Teaching. It is profitable for? Reproof, right? Let's say reproof.
Reproof.
Backside over there, especially you brothers. Say reproof. There you go. Third one is God's word is profitable for?
Correction.
Who's ever been corrected here? Who likes being corrected? I'll put my hand down. I don't like being corrected at all. I don't know if anybody likes being corrected. That's a pride thing. It really is. God's word corrects us, though. He corrects us all the time because he's always right. And the fourth one is?
Training.
Say training together.
Training.
Let's get that back row of all the sisters. Say training.
Training.
Training. God's word is profitable for training. So, teaching, reproof, correction, and training. The reason why I bring this up, now I'm going to read one of the longest sentences that I found in Scripture. You ready? Open up to Titus chapter 1. We're going to read just a few verses. And we're going to take this verse apart and see that God's word is alive and it's active and it's able to penetrate through our soul and spirit, our bone and our marrow. So, Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and please forgive me of my voice. I feel like I'm finally recovering. When you're there, just say amen. Operators, if you can open up, please. Operators, you see me? Okay, open up to Titus chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Thank you. Let's read. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. To Titus, my true child in the common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Isn't that a long sentence? If you look, right, there's really no periods or exclamation points. It's just commas, and the thought progresses. And so here I want to just take this passage apart and look at it. And I want all of us to kind of see, why is Paul saying this, what he's saying? Paul, a servant of God. Let's pause here. In other versions, he says, a slave of God. Who here is a slave of God? Now, you have only really two options. In this world, you're either a slave of righteousness or you're a slave of sin. That's it. The book of Romans speaks about two types of slaves. Either you're a slave of God or you're a slave of the devil. That's it. There's really no pretty message to it. It's either you're on one side or the other. There's really no neutrality with God. So which side are you on? Apostle Paul says, Paul, a servant or a slave of God. And he continues, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's sharing who he is in Christ. Just like we were asked the question earlier, what is your calling? Who are you? So if you imagine we're writing this letter, I would say, I, Andrew, a slave of God and an apostle or a minister or a youth leader or a student. Who are you right now? Put your name there. Are you a slave of God or not? I want to give you this illustration. About in the summertime, I think, I went to this one little burger joint out in Auburn. And I'm sitting there eating my burger. And I see two Mormons. You know, Mormons always look good. Two Mormon young guys walking down on the street. They're just walking and they're evangelizing to people. They're on their mission trip. And they look good. They're young. And across the block is an old woman. She's in a wheelchair. She probably looked 70 years old. I kid you not, did not shower maybe for 3 months. Her hair was just, you know. And she's being pushed by another guy who looks just like her, right? But male version. Hair is just like ropes, you know. And they're pushing a wheelchair. And they just smoked through and drank through, right? They don't look very good. So these young Mormon men stop, and they come up to these old people, to the old man, to the old woman. And I'm watching this picture. And the old man and the old woman, besides their hygiene was way off, but they were just grumps, right? You see a person, you know, that's a grump, real grump, right? So these people were real grumps. And so these young Mormons come up to share a word with them. And the only thing that the old lady gave in response was the bird, right? You know, the finger. Just right at it. And she was just cussing them out. And the guys on her side too. And he's cussing them out. And these guys are just standing there, the young Mormons, saying, thank you, God bless you. They sat back on their bicycles, I think, and kept bicycling. And these people kept getting pushed on the wheelchair and just kept at it. So I'm looking at this picture, I'm like, what a great illustration of what it means to be a slave. Now, I'm not saying the Mormons were righteous, but it gives a very good portrait, an example. How come they didn't start cussing them out? How come they didn't start saying all the blasphemous curses that those people were doing to them? They're a slave of that. If you are a slave of God, examine yourself and ask yourself the question, what am I doing for God personally? Not because I have to, but because I want to. Because He's my God. He's my Savior. He's also my Master. I'm obligated to serve Him. I want to serve Him. He bought me at a heavy price. I live for Him. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now he says why he's an apostle. For the sake of the faith of God's elect. He is a minister for the sake of those who are in Jesus Christ. I am not a minister just because to be a minister. If God appointed me, and I do believe that God appointed me to be a minister, it's not for my own self. It's to go and to share. It's to go and to encourage. It's to go and to preach. It's to use that what God has ordained me for and given me to go and build within the body of Jesus Christ. You see, people are not given ministries and talents and skills just to be bench warmers, just to sit for 10, 15, 20 years and do nothing. If God has given you a skill, if God has called you, and God has called each and every single one of you, I believe it at 100%. God has called you for something specific. Do it. God has called you and he placed you within the body of Jesus Christ so that you can be an encouragement, so that you can share and partake in the harvest and build within the body of Christ. Whatever you do, God's word is able to do everything necessary to make you profitable within the body of Jesus Christ. As a Christian, as you read his word, as you abide in his word, as you get to know his word and become familiar with Christ, you become to understand and know that he has a calling for you. He then gives you desires that he desires you to have. And when he gives you those desires, you begin to act within the body of Christ the way God moves and calls you to be. Amen? Because you were not meant to be alone, isolated somewhere, living for yourself. Now when Peter came up and he called and encouraged all of us to go serve within ministry, I'll attest to it. I've been in ministry, since I was maybe 14 years old. I'm 32 now. Some of my best memories ever in life have always been within the body of Christ. Whether it's a road trip, whether it's hiking, whether it's a retreat or a camp, or just being here at sleepovers or doing a readathon or whatever it is, the best memories are always within the body of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, you think you can find something that fulfills you outside of the body of Christ, you'll be lying to yourself. Don't be deceived. Either you are a slave of God or you're not a slave of God. Okay? Please be encouraged, continue to serve Christ, and understand that for the sake of the faith of God's elect, Apostle Paul understood his ministry, his role, his apostleship, for the sake of those who are God's elect, and praise God he knew it, and praise God he did it, because if it wasn't for him, we'd be missing half the New Testament. 2,000 years ago, Apostle Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit to be a witness to the Gentiles, and everything that was penned, that he was carried by the Holy Spirit to write it. To this day, we have his letters. Imagine if he didn't. Imagine if Noah, I'm just going to now just so on and so forth. He was a slave of God and he did that which he was. For their knowledge of the truth, he continues. He says, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth. So where does faith come from? Hearing. Hearing comes from the word of God. So let's say it together, especially back there. Okay? Where does faith come from?
Hearing.
Where does hearing come from? The word of God, and that's found in the book of Romans. That's a verse. I'm not making it up. Ivan attested to it, and all the other sisters as well. So here's Apostle Paul speaking the truth, God's word, for the sake of their faith, so that their knowledge of the truth may be understood. You see how it's all interconnected. First, God's word again. 2 Timothy 3:16, all God's word, all scripture is God breathed. So Apostle Paul is teaching the word. They're understanding the truth. Their faith is coming. Okay? And then he says this, which accords with godliness. God's word right here, his truth, it's not just words. It's words that also work together with our lifestyle. As we read God's word impresses our hearts, changes us, and always, always walks hand in hand with how our practical Christianity ought to look like. So practical Christianity is always defined by what the truth is, by what God's word is. So God's word teaches us how to live. God's word reminds us how to live. God's words always shows us what godliness is. And godliness is an action. It's your life. Are you living a life that is godly, that is in accordance with God's word? Ask yourself the question. Examine it. Do my actions match up with what God's word? Do my actions match up with what God's word teaches? Because they'll never go against one another. Apostle Paul made that clear. And their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness. And then he continues, what for? In hope of eternal life. God's word teaches us our purpose, our reason for our existence here on earth. Why do we exist here on earth? Do you know? Why did God place you and me? Did you ever ask the question, why am I me? Why am I here? What's my purpose? What's my reason? What's the mission? What are the objectives? I'm sure each and every single one of you has asked that question. It's a good question. God's word defines that. Your reason and purpose for existence is very simple. It's so that you may get to know Jesus Christ. It's so that you can continue to grow in him. It's so that you can continue to mature in him. It's so that you can get to know who your Savior is. It's really not that complex. God wants you to know him. God wants you to grow in him. God wants you to have a relationship with him. That's your purpose. That's your mission and your reason. And don't just hold it, but go and share that. We know that's true because Christ died on the cross for you and for me so that we can have life in abundance with him. And all this, knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life. At the end of our lives, we're walking on this path, right? We slip, we fall, we get back up, we're corrected, we're trained, so on, all the way to the end through that door. And let's say past that door is eternal life. We're all going there. You're going there. You're going there. I'm going there. And frankly, we don't know who's going to be there first. Could be me, because I'm older, but it could be you. We're going to go through that door one day. Where are you going to go? Well, if you are in Christ, you're going to go to him. Amen? Amen. If you're a slave of God, you're going to go to your master. If you're a slave of God, you're going to hear the words, come in, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Come, share your master's happiness. Amen? Let's keep going. In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies. I love this part. It's three words, who never lies. God always spoke the truth, will speak the truth. He will never lie. He will never lie. It is one of his attributes. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. If Jesus Christ said he is the truth, what does that mean? Everything he says is absolutely true. It doesn't change. The meanings of his words do not change. The word truth is not relevant. It always stays absolute because truth is truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. Because he spoke that, that means that whoever calls upon his name shall be saved. That is the truth. If Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When he said that, he meant it because it's true. And you can put your trust in his word. Just as Ivan was sharing, whatever occurs, whatever you go through, trust in the promises of God. Hold on to the words of God. Turn to God's word and lean on his word, not on your own understanding. Because God never lies. He's always truth, always will be. That is who he is. He is always true and will always speak truth. Amen? And there's great promise in that. Who's ever been lied to before? If I had 10 hands, I would lift them all up. Who's ever been, you know, it's not a popular word, but cheated on, you know? And who felt betrayed? There you go. Yeah, if I had 10, I would raise them all up. But God's not like that. Because if he says it, he said it, he meant it, it's true. And you can rest in that fact. Amen? Let's keep going. In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. Speaking about promises, whoever had a broken promise? I know it's very popular, especially for my kids, to say, but you promised McDonald's today. It's like, I didn't promise. I just said maybe. No, you promised. I'm sure all of us have heard a promise that hasn't been fulfilled. Hey, let's go back to childhood. Has there ever been a time or even recently where someone promised a gift to you, never fulfilled it? I promised to be there. They didn't come. My sister one time told me a story about how she had a date and the guy promised to be there at 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 2 hours later. She's still sitting there and there's no date. Broken promise. One guy sitting there is like some grandpa. He's like, dude, not worth it. Not worth it. I'm sorry. Okay, let's keep going. A promise is a promise. God's promise is always true. He'll never turn back on it, never go away from it. And that's a guarantee. Amen? Amen. Let's keep going. And at the proper time, manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. What was that proper time? What was that proper time? The proper time was when Christ came on the cross. He was born. Remember John chapter 1 says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There you go. The Word of God manifested in human form, took on flesh, became man. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, manifested himself, made himself known. And he says, I came to make known the Father to you. Remember Christ said, you cannot come to the Father unless it is by me. Jesus Christ literally revealed, manifested who God the Father is. That was the proper time. Jesus Christ revealed his word and he manifested his word. He is that living word. And so Apostle Paul goes further and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted. Apostle Paul, again, was entrusted to preach God's word. At one point of your life, Jesus Christ revealed himself to you. It wasn't just 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago was 2,000 years ago. As we come closer, right? Now we are in the 21st century. Christ Jesus revealed himself to you at a proper time also. Amen? Do you recall a time when Christ revealed himself to you? As God, as Lord, as your Savior. Think back at that time. Let's read this again. At the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. And that's going to be my last thing. Jesus Christ has entrusted each and every single one of us also to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's his command. Remember Christ said, a new command I give to you, love one another. And then also he said, he gave the great commission. Go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to all nations, to all people. There you go. That's your commandment and my commandment. Thank you, Rita, for sharing the testimony about sharing Christ with your fellow coworker. Recently, in the last 2 weeks, I have been able to share Christ with a few people also. And I'll be honest with you, it's one of the greatest things that you can do when you share Christ. What you know, what Christ has revealed to you, you're able to take and share it with someone else who is in exact need of what you needed at one point. Don't hold back. Don't think, oh, I need to be ordained. Oh, I need to be someone special to share the love of God. Oh, I need to be someone to preach the gospel. That's not true. Take the gospel and preach it to wherever you are. Where God has placed you, God is able to use you if you want to be used by Him. Okay? So ask yourself the question, am I a slave of God? What is my calling? What is my role within the body of Christ? And what is the purpose and the reason for it all? It is to continue for the sake of the faith of God's elect, His people, and for the knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness. Verse 4, last one. To Titus, my true child in common faith, grace and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. Amen. With that, I want to ask you one question before we pray. As you go out tomorrow to work, whatever you do, try to remember God's word. Throughout the day, as you work, as you school, as you do drive, whatever you do, meditate on God's word. Think of God's word and see how God's word is able to change you and your heart also. And then take it and share it with someone. Amen. Let's all stand for prayer.